There you go. I'll talk to you a little bit now. You want to do extra prayer right now?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, praise God. How's everybody doing today? Great?
Good.
Is the joy of the Lord still our strength?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
A couple people not voting. Okay. Heavy prayer back there. Okay. All righty. Very good. I'd just like to start. Psalm 43. It's prayer to God in time of trouble. Okay, vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I like to do a little bit further. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? I just got something written up on that. It says, the time of doubt and stress, the poet urges his inner being by the power of God to keep believing. He knows that one day, by God's grace, he will return to the place of praise to God, the center of worship in Jerusalem. Go ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we're in awesome of your presence, Father God, as we come before you as a humble man and woman of God this morning. We're in awe of you, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Of course, whether it's testing and those troubled times come, which they are, I'm sure, but you know, there's the thing, if we can get in our spirit, you're not giving us anything more we can handle. And the biggest thing, why these are coming, I really believe, God, you've drawn your people to you, Father God. There's a reason why things come our way. You know, since you're the potter with the clay, that you keep on forming and shaping us to be the man and woman God was supposed to be. And we have to go through times like this. We have to be out there in those highways and byways. And we're receiving a lot of incoming, so to speak, and that's kind of, it's a lot of oppression out there, and we got to be aware of that. We just continue to lift things up to God. It says, cast your cares upon me, he says, and we got to be able to do that too, Father God, instead of getting so down and out, we can't even have that joy. The Lord is our strength. It says we're supposed to rejoice each day, and the thing is, because of you, we start the day, I believe, with you, and we end it with you. But even if we don't start immediately with you, sometime during the day, we need to address those times in the day with you to help us to do thy will be done, not ours, and your agenda, not ours. So we need to decrease so you can increase in our lives. And that's for all of us. You know, I don't care how long we're going to go through some times, and the thing is, depending on, this is, whether you're 40, 50 years in the Lord. Some might just have come to know him as Lord and Savior last night. They could be on fire right now. But see, those times, we still have to go through the times of trial and tribulations, stuff like that. That is coming and it is to still come. It's going to be a way of life. Now, that's been shared many times, and the thing is, it's true. Lord, but you're preparing your people for it. And the eyes are on you, Lord God. Help us this. I have such a narrow path to you. And we keep seeking you out first, it says. So help us do that. Not look left or right, but straight ahead to you. You're the author and finisher of our faith. And in you, you know, in us, it's great in us as great as he is in the world. We've got to realize that too. We're chosen. We're anointed. And may the anointing of the Holy Spirit be strong today here. Pour out, Father God, into all of us, Father God, what we need to receive. It's just like I say, a hospital. We're going to get nourished, we're going to get fed, and then we're going to be ready to go out in those highways and byways, whether it's today, tomorrow, whatever that timing will be for us. And it will be. And receive it well. Be willing to step out in faith. And I keep on saying, you know, the size of a mustard seed would move mountains. Move them into the sea, Lord. You see, a lot of people are hurting physically. We need a physical touch in a lot of people today. Spiritual touches too, Father God. As the time gets, near, and you know, we're all called to pray. He says, don't forget to pray, please. Effectual prayer and prayer, righteous man avails much. If we can be persistent and consistent, and don't let anybody tell you, you know, you prayed once, you don't need to pray again. That, to me, I don't like to hear that at all. We continue in our prayers. The Lord never told me to stop and just do it once. I mean, he could do the healing and immediately, or the miracle. And he could have, and he's done it back in 2,000 years ago. But the idea, you know, he always wanted us, yes, I can do the miracles, but I want the teachings to be received by my people. So we can go on, we can explain and continue to, those testimonies come and those appointed times come that people are in desperate need to receive things in the world out there. Remember now, it's not flesh and blood. It's spiritual wickedness, heavenly places, powers of darkness. Things like that are entertaining our world. Yeah, but we have victory, we know that. But it's the spiritual battles that we're facing right now. It's individual battles. We need to overcome them. We can through Christ Jesus that strengthens us. I lift up Pastor Matt Whirl, anointing his mind, his heart, and his tongue as the word goes through him like rivers of living water. Continue to be with Matt and Kathy. Continue to pray up for these people. Pray up for each and every one of us. We can do that. A lot of people say, well, I don't know what to do. Well, at least we can do. We can serve. We can pray. And the thing is, you know, everybody's got a gift. Help us use it to God's ability that he's given us. In your name, amen.
By this, God is good.
All the time.
Now I got your attention. Praise God. We are blessed this morning. As I shared with you last week, that Grace Christian Fellowship, through our missions giving, is now supporting Branches Pregnancy Resource Center of the Branches Pregnancy Resource Center of Brattleboro. And we are just blessed to be able to be on board with them. We are, as I preached last week, we are definitely, this church is pro-life.
Yes.
From conception,
yes,
to natural death.
Yes.
We are pro-life. We do not believe in just ministering to the baby, but to the whole family. Because that is so, so important. I asked Jean if she would come. Jean, she couldn't come last week because she was down in Washington, D.C. during the March for Life down there on last Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday you finally came back, right?
No, Saturday.
Saturday you came back. But it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and there's no way she was going to get here. She was down there, you know, hobnobbing with people that, you know, I'm not going to drop names, but yeah, you would know them. Like Pastor Lori, you know. But Jean went down there. They invited her down to be one of the speakers for the March for Life. And she was down there. Yeah, yeah. Many of you may not know her testimony, but Jean, I know, will probably share a little bit of it. But God has done some marvelous, marvelous things in her life, but through her life as well. And while she was down there, time and time again, in all the different venues that she was given to speak, she brought up the name of Jesus. She spoke about Jesus. She spoke about the power of the Lord. We're going to talk about that a little bit more in a few minutes. But Jean, we welcome you here. And if you would you please come on up and give us a rundown of what you're doing.
I could talk just like this without a mic. Oh, okay. Hi.
You need a mic so the people online can hear you.
Okay. Okay. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. From Branches, the staff and volunteers, they couldn't make it today because it was short notice. I couldn't, between all the things that are going on, was going on in D.C. and stuff, I couldn't let them know. But they all, greetings to from them, from the family of Branches, from the board down. If you do not know who I am Jean Marie Davis. I am the executive director of Branches Pregnancy Resource Center. With me today is my son, and He's actually the reason why I stand before you today. And the woman who started, one of the women who started Branches 38 years ago, as I so thank you, Pastor, for doing the part of presenting Branches last week. Those pictures that you saw, one of them, the first one, was the one that originally was the reason why they even started Branches 38 years ago. And so Lynn Corvald, if she could please stand, she's here today. They hate when I do that kind of stuff to them. So so just a little bit, I want to read two scriptures to you guys today, and then I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony. And I had to ask Pastor how long I had, because to talk about what happened in D.C. and to talk about how God is moving and how we as Branches is a huge part of that move, I had to ask him how long I had. So I will be quick and fast. I will be quick because I also want to hear the word of God. So it was the scripture that we have at Branches that put on my heart last year, and even going into this year, our theme this year is unity. Unity amongst the church, unity amongst just everyone coming together and fighting this cause that we have, right, which is death, right? So we're going to call it what it is. Abortion is death, is murder. And so because of that, we are fighting not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of air. And because Satan wants to kill us, and the scripture says that he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but he comes to give you life and life abundantly. And who's that? Jesus Christ. So because of that, the scripture that laid heavy on my heart, and it continues on, is Jeremiah 33:3, which is, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And a lot of people say that that's a 911 call. I really took it in prayer, and that's really not a 911 call. That's really a faith statement. Call upon me, and I will answer you and show you great. Am I show you? That means that you're trusting in him to step out of the box to make it bigger than what it is, right? So we're coming out of a place of just in a box, God, to saying, okay, God, this is what I need, and this is what I'm asking you to do, and seeing what God does. And so when I thought of that, and I thought about what our center is about, because we are non-medical sites, and I'll get a little bit into that and what we're doing in helping women who are pregnant and need ultrasounds, which is a crazy and a marvelous thing that God has done in Brattleboro for us. But the scripture that came to my mind, heart was Isaiah 61:1, and it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound. And that is what's going on in Brattleboro. A lot of people are bound. We deal with homeless. We deal with women who are prostitutes. We deal with low-income housing. We deal with women that most people will disregard. There's many times, I said, if you were at our first gala last year, I let people know that there was a woman who was walking down the street. I went to Wendy's, and I'm not a skinny person. I'm a little big girl over here, and I had got some food from Wendy's, but I got extra food, and I go, God, why do I have extra food? I think I spent like $30, and I go, why do I have so much food? I can't eat all that. And I'm driving down the street, and there's a woman that has her thumb out, and I don't pick up people. Even when I was in the world, I didn't pick up people, but the Holy Spirit said, pick her up. I pulled over, and I told her, get rid of your cigarette. And I said, get in your car. You ain't getting in my car with a cigarette. This is what you ain't doing. But she got in the car, and she kept on looking at my food. And she says, I just did crack. I don't know why I'm hungry. And I said, oh, I've been there. Why can I say that? Because from the age of 2 to 29, I was a prostitute. I was human trafficked. And in that time, I ended up pregnant and running from my pimps and people in the streets. And my son was being looked to be murdered. People wanted to kill him. People wanted to kill me. People wanted my son dead in many different ways you can think of, and then became to the point where I wanted my son dead. And that's when I ended up in New Hampshire in Keene, and many of you may know me because of Phyllis Phelps. So people don't know that Phyllis Phelps has been in my life since I was on the streets. When I was coming off of crystal meth and when I was coming off of being raped and murdered and all those things, she actually gave me hope because she said, I know a man named Jesus. And because she said that, I kept my son, who you see here, that is 9 years old. So because of that is the reason why I advocate for life. I advocate for women, children, men, families. And so when we decided, when the Lord led me to Branches, which was a very interesting way that he led me, and my book is out there that explains how he led me, I went to the board and I said to them, we're going to pay off this year. This was my first year. Last year was my first year. I said, this year we're paying off the mortgage. We're getting rid of the mortgage. And they said, oh, okay, because I'm the new kid on the block. So they didn't know that I'm a spitfire. And my pastor and some other pastors, like Pastor Matt and other pastors, was like, don't be a bull in a china. And I was a bull in a china. And I ran in that city, and I ran into pregnancy center, and I just went. I don't even know how else to explain it. I just went. And in that, there was a phone call that I had got back the beginning of last year, this time last year, and asked me if I would testify for a bill that was trying to be passed to shut down the pregnancy centers. And I said, no. Now, if the senators call me, personally ask me, then maybe I'll consider it. They said, okay, got an email from the senators. I said, oh, no. I said, my board is going to tell me, no, I don't have to testify. And then they go, sure, go ahead, Gene, testify. I said, oh, Lord, I can't do this. Who is this? This is government. And you get panicked. There's things that happen, right, because we feel like we're not capable, right, because we're not able to do things in our strength. It's in God's strength, right? So then our flesh comes rising up, and we're like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do this. But we have to remember, God places you in positions to proclaim his name so that he can do things in his strength to show people who he is. And so when I went that morning, I prayed. And the Lord said to me, I thought you wanted to cast down fire. And I said, oh, here we go. And so I testified with the senators. And as I told the senators of Vermont, I said, I come to you as a client, not a director. It is an honor and a privilege to be a director, but I was originally a client. And the things that they did to help us was so important. And so after testifying, I thought that was going to be it. We were going to be good. I basically said, leave us alone. We'll leave you alone. We'll do our thing. They'll do your thing, and that's it. No, they passed a law. And then we got a phone call from the Alliance Defending Freedom. Now, I can't get into so much of it, but there's a lot of things I can tell you because of the fact that it is public knowledge and stuff, and you can look it up. But the Alliance Defending Freedom came to us and said, we need people to be our plaintiffs, people that will stand up for the centers. And understand that we, as a state of Vermont, is not the only pregnancy center that's going through attacks right now. It is across the nation that's going through attacks. But the problem was a lot of people weren't willing to stand up. They can't use an actual building, the actual ministry's name. It has to be a physical person. And I said to them, okay, you can use me, however that would be. I'm here to help. I'm not medical, however, I'm here to help. So there was laws that were put in that said that we were not allowed to, at one point, they said for me to even refer a woman to one of our ministries that we support, which is Agape's food bank for the homeless, that we could actually potentially get fined for $10,000 just for referring them to that because it's considered misleading. And so that made me mad, and I said, I'll do it. So July of last year, myself and another center took on the case. So we are in an active case right now. Just to let you know, little things that we are doing, we're not fighting physically. This is spiritual. This is a spiritual fight. And I pray that people really understand this is something that's so horrific. And so the last 6 months, I was talking to Lynn yesterday about this, the last 6 months, the amount of things that God has done for Branches, it blows my mind. Somebody sent a $25,000 check to have us be able to pay off the mortgage. We no longer have a mortgage on the bill, right? Yes. We went from having 166, I think 166 clients in 2022 to last year having almost 300 clients come in our doors. We had people that were traveling all over the place from New Hampshire, Massachusetts, up north, Vermont, even New York coming in. And we're just a resource center. But as I told people, we needed to draw people in. We have it open to where there's no limit on clothes for women who need the clothing. Whatever they need, we provide. If we don't have it, as I tell women, I will figure out a way to get it. We've had a woman who she needed a winter suit for her baby, and we went out and we got it. I went and bought a winter suit because that's what your donating of money does. It gives us the ability to help our clients. We were having the privilege. It was so awesome to speak at March for Life and be about life. And then Friday, we had our first baby of the year born, 8 pounds, 8 ounces. And it was so amazing, right? And then for another woman to come in and say, hey, I'm pregnant, but I'm so scared to get an ultrasound done. Can you please help me? And I said, well, you know, we're not a medical site. However, we work very closely with the hospital. And she goes, well, can you help me with that? And I said, not a problem. I emailed the CEO of the hospital. The CEO connected me with the director of the woman's group that they have in their hospital, and next week I'll be setting up an appointment for our client to go get her ultrasound done that she hasn't had, and she's already 30 weeks. So it's amazing on what God is doing. What's going on in Brattleboro? Wow. if you know Brattleboro, then what I'm about to say will probably just show you how big God really is. At our gala last year, we had 33 non-believers that showed up. We had two people that were saved at our gala last year. We had the hospital buy a table. We had the police department buy a table. We had other higher officials there. And it was interesting because the chief of police, she called me up and she said, I need your help, Gene. They're coming against me because I bought a table for your center. And I said, what's going on? And she told me some stuff. And she goes, can you please show up at a town meeting? I said, I sure will. And she was just blown away because I showed up. And I spoke and I asked questions. And that's what's going on in Brattleboro. We have actually become what they call in the city, with the city officials, we are now the bridge between the church and the city. So it's been pretty amazing. The town manager has called us and said, hey, Gene, we need help with these homeless people. Can you call the pastors and see what the pastors can do? Sure, not a problem. Or, hey, we need, can you help us with this? Or, and different types of things, showing them. They've asked me to come on to their homeless committee. I sat last summer on their homeless committee board because I was personally asked to come and sit because they wanted to know what the faith community, as they call us, feel about. So it's been awesome. Just a little bit about DC. Wow. I lost my voice. So once again, thank you. I lost my voice there. I'm still struggling to get my voice back. It's normal, but not fully there. But I slept for maybe 10 hours in a 48 hour period. The Lord had me up. I had many interviews I had to do. And as you see, it's snowing outside. Now, let me explain to you about our snow and DC snow. It was like 4 inches. It was like nothing. So it looked like it was a whole lot, But those people don't understand what snow is like in storms. it was interesting. It was exciting. At one point, though, now this is where I hope I encourage you all in a way that maybe God is calling you to step out and you're nervous and you're not quite sure how that looks. I was in the tent with many famous people. Actually, one of the people actually became the head coach of the a football team recently. And I looked at the time, and they came around, and they said, okay, Gene, you're going to be speaking at da-da-da-da-da. And I said, okay. I said, we need to pray. And they said, okay, yeah, yeah, we just got to do the rest of the times and make sure. I said, okay. So they left, and we're standing in this tent, and I'm looking at my watch, and there's like 12 minutes before we're supposed to go on the stage. And I'm seeing people just talking, and it just didn't feel right. Because pro-life is based on Christ, because he gave us life, because he died on the cross for us. And so I stood there, and I yelled really loud. I could cry right now. And I said, who are we to think that we could go on the stage and not pray? Who are we to think that we can actually do something without Jesus and be willing to do stuff? I said, we need to pray. And when I tell you, I prayed everything I had, even to the point where I said, who is this uncircumcised giant that comes against our living God? And so we went on that stage, and it was amazing because many people that I prayed over was re-quoting some of the things I said in their prayers to them, to the crowd. And to sit there and just say, wow, there was almost a 500,000, I believe, of people there, which was shocking because I didn't realize that until after I spoke. So think that everybody's like, oh, you were calm, you were calm. I was shaking. I passed out afterwards. It's not my thing. But to know that God can use the unlikely, the unlikely. I am the least likely person. I was actually talking to a pastor, and he said, Satan wanted you dead, and you got out of his grips, and he didn't know how. Because I was supposed to be dead many times over, and yet God kept his hands on me. But because I pulled God out of the box and said, I'm calling upon you and asking you to show me great and mighty works. I need you to move. Those songs that we sang today, I need you. That really was what I needed because there was at a point where I couldn't even stand. I couldn't even walk. I could barely sit. And when I sat, I was in full-blown tears. And I had to keep face because all these famous people were getting in my face, and I had to, like, I was so thankful I didn't wear makeup. And I was just like, oh my goodness. And I had to say, Lord, give me your strength because I got to stand in front of these people and now speak again. You know, there was times where I sat there and I said, I just want to sit at your feet. And at 3:00 in the morning, he's got me up praying, seeking him. And then we get a message on a Friday, which is so good. God to show people who he really is and to let people know that same day at 5:00 there was a woman that reached out saying I need counseling because my baby is in distress. Can you help me? And so as I told people, this job is not a job. Doing God's work is not a 9-to-5. It's an everyday thing. And when you continue to, if you continue to take God out of the box, you will continue to see that he will move mountains like never before. This year, as I said, we're working on unity, but because we paid off our mortgage, now we are focused on fixing our foundation and things of our building. So we are looking for hands and labors and all that. But we also have a lot of events coming up. We have a woman's retreat tea that I encourage a lot of the women to come, because we're trying to connect the churches together. And women, you know, we want to come together. We did a Walk for Life last year, which was amazing. We had 77 people that walked with us, which is huge. This year we're doing a concert, and we're trying to gather all the ministries together to show people in the community and places of what we do to help the community. And we also, you know, have other great things lined up coming forth. So please, all the connections, all the doors that God opened, which were amazing. I can't speak about it right now because it's still in the works of stuff. But wow, it blew me away. I'm a nobody, but I know somebody. And that somebody knows everybody. So I just want to thank everyone personally for coming on board, part of Branches. As I tell my board, and as my board has realized, please put on a seatbelt and a helmet if you really are rocking with us, because we go on a roller coaster and we see where God takes us. Amen. God bless y'all.
Hey, Gene, come here.
Oh, boy.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just pray for Gene and pray for Branches. Yes. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, flood that place.
Yes.
Flood Branches Pregnancy Resource Center on Bird Street in Brattleboro, Vermont. Flood them with your presence. Flood them with your love. And flood them with your power. That everyone, every person, every woman, every man that walks into that place in a crisis will walk out of that place with hope.
Yes.
And we praise you for that, Lord. I pray, Father, that this year, 2024, would be the best year ever for Branches as far as pregnancies coming to full term.
Yes.
Babies coming into this world that are given a chance to realize why you created them in the first place.
Yes,
and we praise you for that, Lord. Father, we pray your anointing on this woman.
Yes.
Your anointing on those that lead with her on the board. That you give them the wisdom of Solomon and the courage of Joshua. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to say it one more time. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God
is good. Turn with me to 2 Peter. Gene, that is your testimony is one that gives great hope to all who say, I can't be used by God. There are those that are under the sound of my voice right now, and under Gene's sound of her voice when she spoke, online and right here, that you have this feeling that you just can't really be used in a profound way. You're just a nobody. You're just a peon. Oh, you don't know what I've done in my life. Boy, I'll tell you some of the things this woman's done in her life. Some of the things that I have done in my life. Some of the things my wife, Kathy, has done. My goodness gracious. And yet, God uses us. There's a statement that was made by Charles Spurgeon. And he said this: God uses people who have failed, because there aren't any other kind around. God uses people who have failed, because there aren't any other kind around. Every single one of us has failed. Every single one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen.
The difference between the sinner and the saint is only one thing, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When you receive him as Lord and Savior, everything you did in the past now does not count against you in any way, shape, or form, but God may use it as a stepping stone for you to be able to speak to others that otherwise would not give you the time of day. I had a kid in prison once. He looked at me. He says, "You don't know what it's like. You're just nothing but a white-collar preacher boy." Well, I'll tell you, the what was it? I forget the name of the preacher. He's really funny, but he says that I could feel the Tabasco sauce coming up my legs.
Jesse Duplantis.
Yes. Jesse Duplantis said that. I'm not a white-collar preacher boy. But I am a man of God.
Amen. Praise God.
You're not a white-collar preacher girl, but you're a woman of the Lord.
Amen.
And that is the difference between each and every one of us and those in the world. We have Jesus. You see, the Bible is very clear. I don't think I'm going to get into the message that I was going to preach. Because I really feel led right now by the Spirit of God to tell you great things that He has done.
Yes.
Like, remind me to get this out of the way so I don't trip over it and make a fool of myself. Great things He has done. One of the scriptures I was going to share this morning, and I'm going to read it. For He did not, out of verse 16 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For He did not follow, we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. You see, Peter wanted to proclaim the power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
This is something that you don't see in this world. They don't talk about the power of God. You try and talk to people in this world about the power of God, and they look at like you, like you know, I think we're going to send those people with the white suits and that little white truck that are going to pick you up and take you to the funny farm because you're funny. You're sick. You got something wrong in your head. No, you don't understand. I had a lot wrong in my head. Mm-hmm. When I came to the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did was He took that, all of that gunk and all that junk, and He has delivered me from it, and He set me free from it.
Amen.
You see, the power of God is not, sometimes in the church we want to see the power of God, we want to see healings, we want to see wholeness, we want to see this, we want to see that, and that's not wrong, it's not wrong. But I'll tell you right now, the greatest move of God and the greatest power of God is when He comes into a life that is just a bunch of junk and He sets you free.
Right.
When He comes into a life and says, your life has been stolen away by the enemy, but I'm taking you back. You were placed in darkness, but I'm bringing you into the marvelous light of God. You were destined for death, and I'm giving you life. I'm giving you that life that is more abundant. I'm going to give you that joy that is so inexpressible, but yet it's full of glory. But you can't really express it because it's just like pent up in your heart and in your life. I'm going to bring you to the place where my word is going to be like shut up in your bones, and you're going to try to get it out, but you can't because it's just kind of shut up in there.
Yes. Yes.
You're going to try and hold it back, and guess what? Yes. You're not going to be able to hold it back because you're just going to spill it out.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Fire.
Amen.
I'm going to give you a reason to live.
Yes.
And I will give you that reason to live that's going to be so strong that you will not fear death.
Amen.
Right.
You will not fear death. See, I'm not afraid to die.
Come on.
I will be honest with you. I'm not looking forward to the process. Because I don't know how that process is going to be. My perfect way of dying would be to lay down, kiss my wife goodnight, and wake up. Fully rested, go, oh, there you go. How'd that happen?
That's a good one.
I want to fly into the very throne room of God.
Amen.
I want to do a belly flop. Boom, like that, right onto the floor, slide up to the ankles of Jesus, grab a hold of his ankles, and just kiss his feet and thank him for giving me the privilege of being here, because it's not something I can earn, it's not something that I can buy, it is a free gift of grace that he has given me. Hallelujah for that. And that only comes by those who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Choose you this day, Joshua said. Choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yes.
As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
That's right.
Hallelujah for that. As for me and my house, I can't speak for you.
Come on.
I can't speak for any of you in this place. But I can speak for me. And I can speak for my wife. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah for that. Oh, I just tell you, it's just... It's a blast to serve God.
Yes,
it is a blast. It's a blast to know that I am destined for heaven.
Amen.
And whatever goes on in this life, man, and I'll tell you, all you have to do is read the newspaper. Don't even read the newspapers, because they're going to mislead you anyways. But it's not hard to tell that this place called Earth, this place called our society, our country itself, let alone all the other ones, our country is going nuts. It's going crazy. That which is was considered evil is now considered good. And if you consider what the world calls as goodness, you call it evil, then they see you as evil.
That's right.
It's going to flip-flopped. I am so glad that Jesus Christ is in my life. That the power of God is in my life. Because he's my rock.
Yes, he is.
He's that one that gives me a steadiness in a society and in a life that is so turmoiled. And so crazy and going and shooting off in so many different directions. I have a life that is rock solid. Not because of me, but because of the one that I serve. He's known as the rock. He's the cornerstone.
That's right.
Is he a cornerstone of your life? You know what a cornerstone is? A cornerstone, you can see the rock walls out in the countryside. You can see the old stone foundations, and that's one corner is this big rock. That's the cornerstone. That cornerstone where everything else is built off of that. That is the key. That is what everything else rests on. And if you disturb it, you disturb everything else. He's a keystone. You know what a keystone is? You ever seen an archway, a stone archway? And right in the center is this funny-looking stone called a keystone. It's placed right in the center, so all the pressure of that stone arch is rested on that one stone. And if you remove that one stone, the whole arch will collapse. But as long as that cornerstone or that keystone is there, that archway will survive for generations. And Jesus is that keystone. He's that cornerstone. If you don't have Jesus in your life, oh my goodness, I'm going to say it. Because a lot of churches don't like to say it. A lot of pastors don't like to say it. And quite frankly, I don't like to say it. But it's true. Without Jesus, I'm doomed to eternity in hell. There's no two ways about it. The Bible speaks of it. Peter spoke of it. Jesus spoke of it. Paul spoke of it. And we need to speak of it. Because it is true. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And you are destined for one or the other. There's no purgatory. There's no middle ground. There's no, I really don't want to go there and I really don't want to go there. So I'm just going to, it's not your choice. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And how can he have the authority to say that? Because he was given that authority by God the Father. All authority, God, Jesus said, was given unto me by my Father. Now you go and you preach the gospel. And part of the gospel is the understanding that hell does exist. And it's not something that we can wish away. As long as I'm living in this life, I can just say, I've had people say, well, I don't believe in hell. Well, why don't you believe in hell? Well, because nobody wants to go there. Well, yeah, you got that right. Nobody wants to go there, but you can't just wish it away. You know? I'm in Winchester right now. There were times I didn't really like Winchester. Dude, can I just wish Winchester away? No. It's here. It's real. It's obvious. And I live here. But I live in Winchester by choice. Because God has called me, He's called Kathy, He's called many of you to the calling of preaching the gospel in Winchester and the surrounding area. And that's why we're here. I don't want to play church. I don't want to just have a church that's filled with people and we just have a Holy Ghost showdown, you know, on a Sunday morning and that's it. And then wait till next week. I want a church that means business in this community and in this surrounding area to preach the gospel. And there's a lot of churches that in this whole area, in Keene, in Brattleboro, that don't preach the gospel. They're a social club. And God doesn't want a social club. He says right here, Peter said, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables." This is not something that was just dreamed up by somebody. "When we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." The power, the word there that's used for power is dunamis. Dunamis power. You know what we get, the word we get from that? Dynamite. So there's three basic words in the scriptures that's used for power. One is exousia, which is authority. One is dunamis, which means dynamic. And the third one is kratos, which means the that which is released. And you have that in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Yes, I believe in the Trinity. I believe it because that's what the scripture said. God the Father is dunamis, contained power. He gave Jesus authority, exousia. All authority, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, all authority, exousia, has been given unto me. And then we have the Holy Spirit. That's kratos. That's where the dynamic power of God that came to us in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, who has the authority to release the Holy Spirit upon you so that the power of God can be realized in your life. Amen. Realized in this man's life right here.
That's right.
We have a miracle. We've had miracles that happened in this guy.
Yes.
Why isn't he healing me? I don't know, but he's healed this man.
Yes.
Would you like to give testimony of that? Okay, let me get you a microphone. We got a couple more minutes. But this is part of the power of God that came to us in the form of His Son and has given you and me salvation if you've received Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, we prayed for you.
Last Sunday.
Last Sunday you said you had a tear in your heart and you had a hole in your heart. And the doctor said you weren't to do, and this guy does taekwondo and, you know, whatever. Is that what it is?
Taekwondo.
Okay, I was right. And just, you know, all of this exercising that he does and all you kicking and whatever. And the doctor said, you don't do that anymore because you're going to die. And guy goes, I'm going to die.
I was scared.
Yeah. And he came up for prayer. What happened?
On Friday, when I went in, they did an EKG, and it came back normal, which it was completely abnormal the last time that they did it. So they wanted to do an MRI to see the size of the mesh disc they were going to put over the hole. They did a picture. They did another picture. And then 8 pictures later, they came back, well, we can't see the hole. It's inconclusive. And I told him that I believed in the healing power of Christ. And he's here like, well, we'll figure out a reason. We're going to have you wear a heart monitor, which I'm wearing. And we're going to have an appointment to go through your hole to look at the hole in your heart. And I said, you're not going to find it.
Now, last week, they were telling him, don't move because you're going to die if you do. And then this week, they're going, well, we can't figure it out. There was a tear there, now there's not. There was a hole there, but now we can't find it. It's got to be there.
It's gone.
I'm believing that they're going to go ahead and run those tests, and it's going to confirm the fact that Jesus Christ has healed this man.
Amen.
Right.
And this is not the first healing. He had brain scan done, and they actually did find that there was a brain in there, but it had those calcium deposits, which is indicative of dementia and Alzheimer's, and there was quite a bit there. And this was a few months ago, and he came up for prayer, and we prayed for him. And the sharpness of his mind started returning, and he went back for, and they did another brain scan, and two things. Number one, they did find that the brain is still there, and the second thing is that all of those calcium deposits had disappeared.
And I have the pictures.
And he has the pictures to prove it. We're not just, this, I've been to evangelist meetings where they had people that were not in wheelchairs, sitting in a wheelchair, so they could come up out of a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And it was all fake. I've also been in meetings where I've seen somebody I knew was in a wheelchair, I knew that they were disabled, and I watched them not only come out of that wheelchair, but start running around. They were so exuberant. Scripture talks about leaping, jumping, and praising God, but they were just all over the place, and people were going nuts because we knew he was disabled. And we watch this disabled man running around, praising God. You see, this is salvation. This is what salvation is all about. It's being taken out of darkness and placed in his marvelous light. And then it is God releasing his power in ways that we can't describe.
Right.
And what he does for one,
come on. Yes.
Yes.
Right. Because, you know,
you're going to preach it, Gene.
Listen, I told Lynn we were going to be the revival because Ashbury was a revival for 2 weeks. And I said, Lynn, why can't we as Branches be a revival?
Praise Amen. God. Yeah.
Bring it on.
That's right.
Taking God.
What I was going to say.
Okay, sorry.
Gene. You're not sorry.
I really am not.
What God will do for one, he can do for anybody else.
Amen.
But he may not do it. The way he did it with Guy may not be the way he does with you.
Yes.
And what he does with you may not be what he'll do with Guy. But one thing is for sure. The power of God is not something to mess around with.
Yes.
And it comes down to this one issue. If you were to die today, do you know where you would spend your eternity?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
I'm glad some of you do.
I do.
I know where I'm going.
I trust in the Word of God. And that's why I do not fear death.
Amen.
In just another Sunday, but in fact, it's next Sunday, I'm going to turn 71.
Oh, you young Sunday.
Happy You're birthday. A young
Thanks for letting us know.
I'm old.
Watch it.
Oh, be careful.
There's some
be
older
careful.
Than you.
Be careful.
No.
Be careful.
No. I'm well seasoned.
Yeah.
But I'm going to ask you this question. If you were to pass away today, you see, next week I will be at the age my mom was when she passed away. And I was with her when she passed away. And that was a splendidly difficult day.
Yeah.
Splendidly difficult. My mother was a strong believer. I know where she is.
Yes,
I was coming home from the hospital, and she died in Brattleboro Hospital, and I got to racetrack was still in existence then in North Hinsdale. And I'm asking God what it was like, what my mother went through, and God showed me, and I pulled over to the side of the road. And I'll tell you, I did a Holy Ghost dance around my truck. I had a pickup truck. And I'm jumping up and down. And I'm thinking, yeah, Jesus, thank you what you did for my mother. And all this. And people were slowing down and watching me, watching me, and I didn't care. I didn't care because my mom was saved.
Amen.
Are you? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Yes.
If you're to die today, would you know, for beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you have a place in the kingdom?
Yes.
Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself so that where I am, you may be also. But the choice is yours. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for what you're doing in Branches. I thank you for how you're using Gene and Lynn and others on the staff to save lives, little babies' lives. And I thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross to save our lives. But as with any gift, we must receive it in order to possess it. So, Lord, I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask everybody here, if you want to pray along with me, you're more than welcome to. Dear Lord Jesus, I need you. I'm a sinner. I have broken your laws. I need you. Please forgive me of all that I've done. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I repent of my sins and I turn to you and I ask you to come into my heart. Take up residence in my life. Cleanse me and mold me that I'll be more like you. I thank you, Jesus, for giving me salvation. And I receive it now. And I praise you. I believe in my heart that you were raised from the dead. I believe in my heart that you love me. I believe in my heart that I am saved right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. Well, I'm going to trust that everybody here is saved. Hallelujah. And if one of you, somebody online, if you prayed that for the first time, then please give us a call. You can email me, text me, whatever, because we have a brand new Bible we want to give you, and I'll send it right out to you. Hallelujah. Let's stand. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Yes.
The Lord be gracious to you.
Yes.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. And then he will give you peace.
Yes.
Peace that surpasses all understanding that will guard your heart and your mind through the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves you with an everlasting love. He died on the cross. And my blessing to you is that he will make that even more real to you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.